you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Enjoy some good music. Amen. Thankful for our musicians. Thankful for our sound people and everything else that everybody does here at Gospel Inc. Thank you all for all you do. Turn in your Bibles tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We're going to begin there in verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we're going to begin there in verse 9. This morning we talked about what we need to do in the beginning year as it comes up. We was in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and talking about how we're going to forget those things that are behind and how many and how we are in that tug of war in life against different hindrances and obstacles and challenges and whatever it is that we face. And then talked about how we is going to reach forward to the future and reach forward to whatever it is that God has for us. And so we talked about what we was going to do and what we need to do in 2019. Tonight we're going to look at what we don't need to do in 2019. So 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we're going to begin there in verse 9. Before we do, though, I was thinking about this as we was singing a song a while ago. Think about this year and everything that's happened in your life throughout the year. And if you'd like to stand up and say something, that's fine. But you just think about just the whole year, everything that's taken place. And somebody that would just like to give, you know, just say, hey, you know what, I just want to thank God for how good he's been to me in 2018, for what he did here. And maybe he did something, maybe he just came through, whatever it was, you know, just short testimony, anything like that. Anybody here tonight might do anything like that? Just short testimony, say, hey, you know what? God's been good to me. This is what he did for me in 2018. Yes, ma'am.
I'm always glad to stand up and praise the Lord. He saved my soul 62 years ago, and I've been rejoicing in him ever since. I've been through valleys. I've climbed the mountains, but God's been with me every step of the way. And it just makes me love him more, and I try to serve him the best I can. I'm not able to get out and go and do like I used to, but God knows I pray for those that can get out and go, and God has been so good.
King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. Now, Zedekiah was 21 years of age when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Now, as we talked about this morning, we talked about some good ways how that we need to enter into 2019. Tonight, we're looking at how we need to make sure some things we don't need to do as we enter into 2019. And as we look there in verse 11, well, of course, we're going to see Zedekiah. Now, he was a young man. The Bible shows us he was 21 years old, and he began to reign. He reigned 11 years. And so Zedekiah, he had this beginning, just like in 2019, we're getting ready to begin a new year. He had a time when he was beginning to reign. So what did he do in his reign? When he began to reign, how did he start off? I mean, you know, because a lot of times how you start can be is very important, but how you finish is maybe even more important. But how you start is important as well. But we see here that he didn't start well and he didn't finish well, and nothing in between. And so the whole reign was a disaster. So let's take a look at it here tonight, and let's see the life of Zedekiah as he began to reign. What was going on in the very beginning? Well, let's take a look at it there in verse 12. And the Bible says, and he did that which was what? He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And so from the very beginning, I mean, he started off on the wrong foot from the very beginning. I mean, from the get-go, he was already beginning his reign. He was already beginning his kingship, his ministry, whatever you want to call it. He was beginning that on the wrong foot right off from the bat. Now, I understand, just like I said a minute ago, you know, starting off, how you start off is important. How you finish is probably even more important. But he started off really, really bad. And the Bible says that whenever he began his reign automatically doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So what does that entail? I mean, what does that encompass? Well, we understand just by that and some other verses we're going to look at here in a minute that as he, when he began his kingship, when he began his ministry, he had no desire to live for God whatsoever. I mean, it didn't bother him. He didn't care nothing about living for God. He was more interested in doing his own thing, going his own way, living his own life. Now, he knew what he was supposed to do. Now, he wasn't ignorant to it. You know, it wasn't like he didn't grow up around it. It wasn't like he didn't ever hear anything about God or how you're supposed to serve the Lord. I mean, he knew these things. He knew how you were supposed to live. He knew what you were supposed to do. But listen, there's been a lot of folks that grew up and have come to church their whole life and knew how you were supposed to live, knew what you were supposed to do, have been under good preaching and come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and joined the church and got baptized and done all these things and still were not saved. Amen? And still were not saved. So he knew the rituals. He knew what he was supposed to do. But the thing is he just didn't care. He had no care whatsoever. All he wanted to do was to do what he desired to do in his own personal life. He didn't look for God for direction. He didn't look to God for guidance and advice. And he didn't care nothing about any of that. And so he started out his reign not caring nothing about having God being a part of his life whatsoever. Now, I don't know about you, but as I begin, I don't want to go the day feeling like that or thinking like that, less on living my whole life like that. Now, before I got saved, I didn't think nothing about it. I didn't care. But now that I am saved, I kind of look back and I think, man, how in the world did I live all those, how did I live all that time without God, having God in my life? See, I didn't care then. Zedekiah here, he knew what he was supposed to do. He knew how he was supposed to live. But the thing was, is he just didn't care anything about it. And the Bible says there in the text, that there in verse 12, that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now that word evil, there's a lot of things. That's just the category. There's a lot of things that fall underneath that. Now when you begin to think of what evil is, now there's a lot of things that you can list under that title of evil. I mean, the Bible says he lived an evil life. So there was a lot of things that he was doing, a lot of things that he was taking part in that was just really detestable in the sight of God. And he didn't care at all. Notice the text says here, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You know what that means? That means everything he did, God saw it. Amen? That means you can't hide anything from God. You know, I think sometimes we think, well, I'll just do this and nobody will know. Well, nobody else may know, but God knows. God knows about it. So there's nothing that we can do, good or bad, holy, righteous, or evil, wicked, whatever. There's nothing that we can do outside of the knowledge and sight of the Lord. And so the Bible says that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He had no care whatsoever. I don't know about you, but when I begin 2019, even before that, but as I begin 2019, what I want to make sure that I'm doing is that I am starting my year off with God involved in my life. I want to make sure that I'm saved. I want to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. If I don't know about that, I want to make sure that I'm following God's plan, that I'm in his will. I want to make sure that I'm involving God in my life. I want to make sure that my life is well-pleasing in his sight. You know, I can't live to please everybody else, but I can do all I can to please God. Amen? I can do all I can to please him. And so we see here that Zedekiah could care less about pleasing the Lord. He could care less about following the Lord. So as we begin 2019, what is one thing that we don't want to do? We want to make sure that when we go into 2019, that we don't have a desire in our heart not to seek God, that we try to just turn away from him and do our own thing and go in a different direction. Man, we want to follow God with all that we have and serve him with all that we have. The Bible says here that one of the mistakes he made when he began to reign was that he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And notice this. Aside from that, the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And so the Bible says that he had a real problem, shows us he had a problem with humility. You ever met anybody that had a problem with humility before? I mean, I'm talking some very boastful, very proud people. I mean, you know, the whole world just revolved around them, and they're definitely going to tell you everything they've done. And you can try to tell them something you've done, but ain't nothing you've done any better than anything they've done. I mean, they've been there, they've done that. You try to tell them a story, while they got one that's a whole lot better than that, and they've already done that, and plus some, you know. I mean, you just cannot top what they've done. You can't top what they've seen. You can't top what they heard. I mean, this was a guy, the Bible says that he shows us he had a problem with humility in his life. He didn't want to humble himself before God. Hey, listen, if you won't humble yourself before God, you won't humble yourself before nobody. If you won't humble yourself before an almighty God, I doubt you're going to humble yourself before anybody else. And so here he was. The Bible said he was living an evil life. He began his ministry. He began as being a king, ruling over the kingdom. He started off, I mean, right from the get-go, started off wanting to do things his own way. He didn't care nothing about having God involved in his life. He didn't want none of that. And whenever he heard what he was supposed to do, when God sent Jeremiah his way and tried to speak and tried to use Jeremiah, spoke through Jeremiah to try to help the king, the Bible says that he would not humble himself to the mouth of the Lord. He would not listen. You ever heard of somebody that would not listen? You ever try to talk to somebody? I mean, you just couldn't tell them nothing. You ever heard that phrase, I've tried to talk to them till I was blue in the face? You ever talk to you as blue in the face? I mean, talk to you as just blue in the face. I mean, sometimes you can just talk and talk and try to explain and try to help and try to, and sometimes it seems like, man, it's just not going through. It's like it's hitting the ear and it's just falling down to the ground. There's nothing that seems like that you can do to get to them. And you know what? We see here in our text, it shows us, demonstrates how much love God has, because God saw the evil life that he was living, but that God also sent Jeremiah the prophet and sent him down there to speak to him what it is that God wanted him to know, what it is that God wanted him to hear. You know why? Because God cared about him. God cared about him. God cared about his ministry. God cared about what kind of king he was going to be. God cared about how he was going to lead his people. And let me tell you this tonight. God cares how you begin 2019. God cares how you live your life before you walk out of here tonight. God cares about what's going on in your life. He cares about your ministry. He cares about what you can do for him. He cares about your family. He cares about what's going on in your personal life. He cares about what's going on in your family. He cares about everything that you care about. The Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen, if you care about it, I believe God cares about it. It don't matter how small or how big it is, how we can minimize it or make it great. Listen, if you care about it, I believe that God cares about it. And so we see that God cared about him. God cared about his kingship. God cared about his leadership. God cared about having fellowship with Zedekiah. Even though Zedekiah was living this kind of life, even though Zedekiah would not heed the voice of the Lord, God cared about him. And so God sent his prophet Jeremiah to go down there and talk to him and try to reason with him, because that's the God that we serve. Hey, I'm glad that God cared enough about me where I was at to come to me and reason with me. And reason with me, and give me an opportunity to confess my sin and ask for forgiveness and to have fellowship restored together. But we see here that Zedekiah, he didn't care anything about that. All he wanted to do was live life his own way. And then when God tried to talk to him, it's like he'd just turn away from it. He didn't want nothing to do with it. Kind of like how you try to talk to somebody sometimes and you come to them one time, try to talk to them about it, and then you come to them again, try to talk to them about it. You come to them again, and before long, they see you coming, they just kind of walk away. You know why? Because they know what you're coming to talk to them about. And they don't want to hear what you have to say anymore, because they see you, and they already know, they already feel like they know what you're going to say. And so it's almost like we harden our hearts to what we know is going to be said. And that's kind of what was going on with Zedekiah. He was every time God tried to get in touch with him, he kept turning away. And every time he turned away, it's like his heart got a little harder. You see, that happens to us too. God tries to talk to you, and the more you turn away from his voice, The more you shun his grace, the more you shun his mercy, the more you shun his love, God tries to speak to you, he tries to talk to you, he tries to deal with you, and the more that you turn that away, the easier it gets not to hear his voice whatsoever. And then whenever you see a message coming, you don't even want to deal with it. You just walk away. You won't even give it the time of day. Same thing happens to us spiritually too. God tries to knock on the door of our hearts. He tries to talk to us. He tries to explain things to us. And you know what happens? After a while, that conviction that we have in our hearts, man, we just start growing cold to it. And then the more that God tries to knock on the door of our hearts and try to speak to us about these things, the more we just kind of end up with a scarred conscience, and we just kind of turn away from it and go in a different direction. That's what God was doing to Zedekiah. He was doing everything he could to talk to him, doing everything he could to plead with him so that he would get his life right, so that he would turn around and go a different direction. And we see here in the text, the Bible says there in verse 12, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. See, Jeremiah didn't go down there and just give him some man's wisdom. He didn't just go down there and say, Zedekiah, let me tell you what you need to do based on how I see it. He says, Zedekiah, listen, I got a message from God for you, and this is what God wants me to tell you. And he still would not hear, and he still would not listen. I want to make sure that when I'm in 2019, I want to make sure that one of the things I do is that when God tries to speak to me, that I do this. God, did you say something? If you said something, I want to hear it. Lord, help me to take the headphones off. Lord, help me to clean out my ears. Lord, I want to hear what you have to say to me. God, help me not to be so busy that I can't hear your voice. Help me, God, not to be so involved in so many different things that I can't hear you speaking to me. If there's one thing that I want to do in 2019, it's that I want to make sure that whenever God's speaking, that I don't just turn around and walk the other way. But when God speaks, whether it's through somebody else or whether it's through his word or whether it's through a song that comes on the radio or whatever it is, however it is that God chooses to speak to me that day, whether it's I wake up in the morning and just see God raise the sun up, amen? Whatever it is, however way that God chooses to speak to me on that day, I want to make sure that I'm listening. I want to make sure that I'm watching. I want to make sure that I'm paying attention. But you see, Zedekiah wasn't doing that. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to live his own way. He would not listen to what God wanted him to hear. And notice what else. The Bible says, and he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, his brother. Rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made himself swear by God. And he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen. And so the Bible shows us this progression, how this is how they started off, and they started off this way, and man, it was like a downward spiral. I mean, he wasn't doing right, he wasn't living right, and then you get down to verse 14, and the Bible says, and the priest and the people, and so everybody was just following suit. Everybody was just following suit. Dr. Baker told us years ago when I was in Bible college, he said, make sure that you understand this. He says, whatever you do in moderation, others will do in excess. And we thought, what are you talking about? What does that mean? He'd say, men, as a preacher, you got to understand that whatever you do in moderation, because other people are looking at you, he said, whatever you do in moderation, other people will probably do in excess. They'll go above and beyond. They'll do more than what you did. And so we see here in this text, what we see is that Zedekiah was getting away from God. He didn't want nothing to do with God. He wouldn't listen to God. And so then what happened? It just trickled down into everything else. And so then we see that the priests were going in the wrong direction. We see the people were going in the wrong direction. And so it just filtered down. It just filtered down into everything that was there until eventually nobody would heed the voice of God. That's why God was sending Jeremiah down there to talk
to Zedekiah because he knew that if he can get a hold of Zedekiah and Zedekiah would help, then Zedekiah could lead his people into a greater future. That he can lead his people into a better kingdom. But Zedekiah wouldn't listen. And because he wouldn't listen, everything began to fall apart and everything began to crumble. Now you think about your own personal life. You think about your home life. You know how God's trying to get to you. Maybe trying to speak to you so you can help this person or help your spouse or whatever it is. And we see that because Zedekiah would not listen to God, how his life began to degenerate, it began to collapse, it began to fall apart. And because his life was doing that, the priest's life was doing that, the people were doing that, and everything started to crumble. Everything started to crumble. And the Bible says there in verse 14, "And wherever all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen." And so there was nothing. It got to a point that there was nothing that these people wouldn't do. You couldn't tell no difference between them and the world. I mean, there was nothing. They were doing everything that the world was doing. They were involved in everything that the world was involved in. You couldn't tell any difference between the two at all. And so we see just how everything began to decline. And he says there in verse 14, "They transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen." And watch this. "And polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem." They polluted the house of the Lord. I ain't going to spend a lot of time on that tonight, but I can tell you what I've seen. I've seen and heard of a lot of things that are a pollution in the house of the Lord today. I mean, there are some things that's going on in churches today that just blows my mind. I mean, I hear about it, I see it, I read about it, and I'm thinking, how in the world has this ever taken place? How in the world has that ever even been allowed? I mean, how did that get through the front door? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, how did this happen? I mean, there's so many different things that's going on in the house of God today that is just polluting. And now you think about something that's polluted. Now, what does it mean for something to be polluted? It means to be defiled, disgusting, nasty, you know, vile. You know, something that you don't want to take part in. Something that, of course, is unhealthy. Something that's, you know, just not good in general. And the Bible says that they were polluting the house of the Lord. Polluting the house of the Lord. And I'm just thinking to myself, and I'm thinking about today, things that's going on in churches all across the nation today. And I look back and I sit there and I think, what in the world? What is happening? What is happening to God's house? What in the world is going on that something like this was ever allowed? I mean, what in the world is happening? Have we forgotten? I mean, have we gotten so much like the world that we think that in order to reach the world that we have to bring the world in here? I mean, that's the philosophy. Well, if we're going to reach the world, we got to bring the world inside the church. Well, listen, I want people to come inside the church. Yes, amen. I want people to come here. That's what we want. You know, we want to be a friend of sinners. Of course we do. We're not better than anybody else. We understand that. But this is the house of God. And the house of God is different than the world. Amen? And if we don't show the world that the house of God is different than that out there, then what are we showing them? That we're just the same? We've got to show them there's something different. But the Bible says here that they were polluting the house of God. Polluting the house of God. The Bible says, and I don't know if I'd really call this, I mean, polluting. I'm not saying that this is. I was just thinking about it. One instance, I remember I was not here at Cornerstone, and I was just come out of Sunday school, and we had a trailer out back, and I just come out of Sunday school, was getting ready to walk in, and this lady come up, and I had never seen her before, and she had these, and I'm not harping on this, I'm not getting into this tonight, but she had these flags in her hands. And she was just, I mean, just whipping these things around me, big ones. And I was just going, what in the world? And so I come walking, hey, I'm Pastor Brian, how you doing? We just kind of talked a little bit. She said, I'm going to dance with these flags today in the service. You remember that? You remember that? And I'd never seen this lady at all. I had no idea who she was. And she had these big flags, and she was just twirling them around. I mean, it was almost like she was high on something. I don't know. And she was like, yeah, I'm going to dance and all this in the service with my flags today. And I looked at her, and I said, that's not going to happen today. And I said, you're welcome to come inside the service and sit down if you'd like. I said, but we're not dancing with the flags in the service today. I said, but you're more than welcome to come in here and sit down and take part in our service today. We'd love for you to. You know, and there's a different, that's the way you approach things. You know, you try to handle things in a good way. I'm not saying that was polluting God's house. I'm not, that's not what I'm trying to get at. I'm just saying that, you know, there are just some things, there are some things that, you know, when they come in, you just kind of got to look at and say, you know, this ain't happening. You know, there are just some things that are just not happening. And that's just a really small thing. I mean, there are so many things that are coming in God's house polluting it today that it's just unreal. It's ungodly. You know, me, I'm not for the discos in the church. I don't have a mosh pit down here. I love serving the Lord, but we're not going to get down here and have a mosh pit and, you know, and any of that kind of stuff. People, they do what they want to do, but we just don't do it here. Amen. We don't do it here. I don't care nothing about that kind of stuff. I don't have to have a disco dance in here to invite and have people come in. You know, I don't have to do that. But there's so many things that are polluting God's house. And I'm getting all that to say this. Is that Zedekiah was allowing all these things to come to the house of God, to pollute the house of God, but see, he didn't care. He didn't care about following God. He didn't care about listening to God. He didn't want nothing to do with God. He heard the messages of the Lord. He knew what he was supposed to do. God was trying to speak to him. God was trying to get a hold of him. God was trying to shake him up and rattle him a little bit, but he just would not listen. And because he wouldn't listen, what began to happen, man? Things just started derailing. And his life was getting polluted. His country was getting polluted. You know, our country is being polluted with all kinds of evil things today. I mean, because we won't listen to what God says in his word, our country has been polluted. Amen? It's been polluted with all kinds of things because we just won't listen to what God says. And it has made its way inside the church of God. I was reading over the weekend. My dad was showing me something there at Christmas time. He said, Brian, look at this. And I was reading it, and in Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan, they had a service, a Christmas service, and it was called Chrislam. You ever heard of that? You ever heard of Chrislam? Chrislam? Well, what it was is there was a church up there that said, you know what? We got a lot of Muslims up here, so what we want to do is we want to add the nativity story of Jesus with Islam and kind of put it together so that we can make these two religions compatible, and so everybody can see that we can get along and that we serve the same God anyways. And I was sitting there looking at that thinking to myself, you have got to be kidding me. The two, Islam and Christianity, don't even go hand in hand. I mean, they're complete opposites. They're completely different. But I was just thinking about it. I was like, you know what? The world is doing everything it can to get inside the church. The world is doing everything it can to come through the front door to pollute the church any way that it can. Any way that it can. Even the nativity. But we see that the house was being polluted. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know what, God, help me in 2019 to make sure that nothing comes in the house of the Lord that pollutes your house. But Lord, help me to make sure too that nothing comes into my home that pollutes my home. You know, because we can have a polluted house. You know, we can go around, we can probably look around at some things, but you know what? That's probably a pollution in the sight of God in my house. And if it's a pollution in the sight of God, then why do we have it? Well, I mean, might as well just get rid of it. Verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them. See, where'd he go first? He went to Zedekiah, and Zedekiah wouldn't listen. And the Bible says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, that's early, and sending, because he what? God had what on his people? Compassion. God loved his people. He saw what they were doing. He saw the direction they were going. They wouldn't heed his voice. They wouldn't listen. He did everything he could. He was doing everything he could to grab a hold of them. They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, so he sent somebody else. Hey, listen, sometimes you can have somebody sit under what we would call, whatever you want to call it, the greatest preacher or evangelist in the whole world, and somebody still not respond to them. But then somebody else come by, and then they respond to them. Amen? You know? And they may not have any kind of preaching style like them whatsoever. Listen, Jesus, the greatest preacher of all, preached. And still people didn't respond to him. Amen? So, you know. The Bible says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers. Rising up betimes, they rose up early, and he sent his messengers down there because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. He wanted his house to go right. He wanted the people to go right and do right, but nobody would listen. Notice what happens. Notice what they did. Every time God sent somebody down there, every time God tried to talk to them, notice the Bible says, but they mocked the messengers of God. They made fun of them. The messengers of God would come in and they would say, listen, guys, I've got a message from the Lord. Listen, God loves you. He wants you to get saved. He wants you to get your heart right. But you're going to have to get rid of this stuff and man, just turn your life around. Just turn to the Lord and get saved. And you'll see how good God's going to be to you and how much he'll just bless your home and change your life. And man, just go. You need to go in a completely different direction. And all these messengers came in. They'd make fun of this one, and then this one would come in, and they'd make fun of this one, and this one come in, and they would just laugh about it, and they would just mock them and make fun of them. And every time another messenger come in with a message from God, they would just make fun of them, and they would just talk about them. The Bible says they mocked the messengers of God. You know, when Noah got done building an ark, and God started bringing all those animals together, because God did that.
That's right.
God brought all the animals together. Yeah. And when all those people stood there and watched all these animals pair up, male and female, and walk single file onto a boat, surely that right there would tell somebody that something miraculous is happening. I mean, you know, wouldn't you think? I mean, the people are standing around. They see all these animals walking onto the ark. I mean, we don't see this right here happen. What in the world is going on? And you see all this stuff. You see all these animals walking onto the ark. And you think that surely that message right there would have been loud and clear. See, there's all different kinds of way that God speaks to us. Sometimes we just not looking, not paying attention. It can just be, God could be speaking to us just through the animals marching single file, getting on a boat. That right there is a message to show you that God's involved in this, and the message that I've been telling through Noah is true, and that you need to get right or you're going to be lost. Yeah. But I think things like that happen around us all the time. But we're just not paying attention. And we're saying, God, I wish you would have shown me. And God says, how many times what do you need me to do to show you? I sent my son. That should have been proof enough. But I sent this messenger here. I sent this person to talk to you. I sent her back down there to talk to you at the house. I sent him down there to talk to you at the house. I sent her down there to talk to you at work. I sent him down there to talk to you at work. The preacher came by and tried to talk to you, and your kids tried to talk to you. And I mean, what else do you want me to do? I rose the sun up in the morning. I told it to go down that night. I let your heart beat another day. I extended your life by so many years when you should have died 5 years ago. But yet I put my hand on your heart so that you didn't die, so that you would have another opportunity to get saved, and you still didn't take it. Yeah. And they mocked all God's men that came through. And the Bible says they mocked the messengers. They despised his words. Despised his words. They hated everything God said. And they misused his prophets. You know what that means? It means some of them they killed. Some of them they just tortured. How many of you remember how Isaiah died? Anybody know here how Isaiah died? Yeah. Brother Mike. He got sawed in half. They put him in a log, did they not? Didn't they put him in a log? That's exactly right. Put him in a hollow log and then cut him in half. That's what they did to Isaiah. And that's just one of the many. One of the many. Can you imagine getting put inside of a hollow tree? You can't move, you can't do anything. And then they just sit there and saw you in half. Yeah, it says it in God's Word. It tells you how he died. Wow. They misused his prophets. Watch this. Until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. There came this time, this moment, when God said, I'm done talking to you. I'm done talking to you. You ever? How many of you had kids? You're already laughing. You know what I'm talking about. You had kids and you know, you told them, you better stop now. You better stop doing this. You better stop doing this. You better stop. And they just keep on and on and on and on. And then you just look at them and say, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm done talking. I'm done talking. And after you get done talking, what happens? Well, now you go out to the woodshed. Now you go out to the woodshed. There comes a time when you stop talking. Listen, God says, you know what? I'm done talking. I am done talking with you. I am done trying to convince you that I love you. I'm done trying to convince you to turn around and go another direction. I mean, what in the world? What else do I have to do to get your attention? You are turning away from everything that I send to you. And now you're killing my prophets. I'm not doing it anymore. And watch what happens. And the Bible says, until the wrath of God arose against his people, watch this, till there was no remedy. Now, what's a remedy? A remedy is a cure. A remedy is something that will, take care of whatever the infection is. But you see, they're come to this point. Or God says, you know what, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm done talking to you. And now God's angry. And we serve a long-suffering God, amen? Amen? We serve a God of love, but we also serve a God of judgment.
Yes,
and there comes a point where God says, you know what, I'm done talking. I'm done talking. And now God's angry. And he had got so angry that the Bible says there wasn't anything that you could do about it. There was no remedy. Now, if that means there's no remedy, that means that there's no cure, right? That means that if there's no cure and there's nothing you can do to withstand God's hand because now he has gotten so angry that he is about to pour out judgment. If there's nothing else that you can do, that means there's no prayer that's going to help anymore. There's no prayer that's going to even help. And God's coming. And his fury is coming with him. And he is bringing his judgment. And as we enter into 2019, one of the things I want to make sure that I do, one of the things I want to make sure that I don't do, I want to make sure that I'm listening to God's voice. I want to make sure that I'm following him. I want to make sure that when God's trying to speak to me, whether it's no matter what it is, through his messengers, other whatever it is, that I'm listening, that I'm having an open ear. You know, Dr. Baker would always say, men, make sure that you always remain teachable. Always be teachable. Because see, when you find yourself not being teachable anymore, then you're too prideful. Amen? And so if you're too prideful, then you're not going to listen. You're not going to listen. So Dr. Baker would always say, men, always make sure that no matter what, you always remain teachable. Because listen, I don't know everything. I know contrary to what everybody would like to think, I don't know everything. And you don't either. And so we have to have a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. And that requires humility. And that was something Zedekiah didn't have. He didn't want that. He was a real prideful person. And his pride led him and his country into a decline that just ruined everybody. And nobody would listen to God. And then God moved in, brought his judgment upon the nation, upon the kingdom. I want to make sure that whenever I'm in 2019, that the way that I live my life is well-pleasing in His sight. Amen? That it's well-pleasing in His sight. I don't want to invite His chastisement onto my life. I want to keep short accounts with God. Lord, this is what I've done. God, please forgive me. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. And keep short accounts with God so that you maintain that position you have on your on praying ground.
Amen.
On praying ground. Because listen, when somebody comes along and says, hey, you're at work or whatever, you get a phone call, and somebody says, hey, will you pray for me about this? You being on praying ground is very important. Because if you're not on praying ground and they're asking you to pray for them, and you try to pray and you're not on praying ground, then you just wasted your breath.
Amen.
And you just wasted your time. And your prayer went no further than that ceiling. Making sure you're on praying ground is so important. And how do you do that? Keeping short accounts with God. Keeping short accounts with God. Let's pray tonight. Father, we come to you this evening.